RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice, big, deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always, on another steamy Sunday morning here in Western New York. We got a great show lined up for you today, as today is the, I believe, 23rd running of the Brickyard 400, or as it's officially known, Crown Royal presents the Combat Wounded Coalition 400. I'm going to stick to the short form name of today's race, and we'll be previewing that race here on the program for you this morning. As we'll have it live on WGR, coverage coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon, courtesy of the co-production by the IMS Radio Network and the Performance Racing Network. They kind of share the duties for this one. We'll have the race at 2 o'clock today, pre-race at 2, green flag just after 3 o'clock this afternoon, and it is quite a race. The on-track action might not be all that exciting this afternoon, there's still a lot to talk about with today's race. Coming up on today's program, we'll have lots of time for your phone calls at 803-0550-1-888-550-2550. Which storyline are you more interested in today? Jeff Gordon coming back to drive the 88, filling in for an injured Dale Earnhardt Jr., coming out of retirement, and a big what if Jeff Gordon could somehow pull off an upset and win today at Indianapolis. Are you more interested in that, or the fact that Tony Stewart will be making his final start at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, at least in a stock car, as he competes in today's Brickyard 400 and has a good shot at it today as he rolls off third? Which one of those storylines are you more interested in today if you're going to be tuning into the race? Also, Gordon Nation, Jeff Gordon fans, I especially want to hear from you. What are your feelings about this? You had all of last year to have the big farewell tour, you know, just to every track that Jeff went to for the final time. There was that big pomp and circumstance, and every track gave him a gift. You know, the one track gave him ponies for his kid and all the other stuff he got all last season. And now, after all that, he's getting back behind the wheel of the car. Do you feel gypped because you had that whole great season last year and now it turns out he's coming back? Are you just excited that you get to see him race two more times with today at Indianapolis and, of course, next week at Pennsylvania? Did you spend money? Did you purposely go to a race last year knowing that you thought it'd be the last time you would see Jeff Gordon race in person? Do you feel maybe a little upset by that he's coming back like this? I would really like to hear from some Jeff Gordon fans here this morning on the show. In a couple of minutes, we're going to hear from Jeff Gordon, actually. No, not live or anything, but we're going to go back to Friday because he had a press conference at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He and Rick Hendrick did, and some interesting thoughts from Jeff, so we're going to play some of those comments here in just a little bit on the program. Also, coming up on today's show at the bottom of the hour, our good buddy Clinton Jeffrey from the Humberstone and Oshweken Speedways and the Super Dirt Car Series is going to join us. Clinton is a hardworking man these days. Not only is he taking on the role as one of the new series announcers for the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modified Series, taking over for Shane Andrews, he's also still running the show at the Oshweken Speedway and the Humberstone Speedway. So he's in a busy stretch. He spent 2 days at Eldora with the Big Blocks, Tuesday and Wednesday, then went to the Sharon Speedway on Thursday. And then he ran the show at Ashwiken on Friday night. And then tonight he'll be at Humberstone. They've got the Go Nuclear late models tonight at Humberstone. And then Monday and Tuesday at Ashwiken, he is going to be hosting Casey Kane, who's going to be racing with the sprint cars at Ashwiken on both Monday and Tuesday night. One of those is a World of Outlaws show, too. So Casey Kane is going to be racing sprint cars just to up to the north of Buffalo at the Ashwiken Speedway near Hamilton. So very, very, very busy time for Clinton, and we're going to talk to him about that. We'll get because he was part of the reason he got Casey to come to Ashwiken. It all started with a very interesting Twitter exchange. So we'll talk to Clint about that and also get a recap of the big block modified races at Eldora. That was a big part of the truck race at Eldora on Wednesday night. We'll talk more about that too. But again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Today's Brickyard 400. Kyle Busch, the defending race winner, looking to go for the sweep at the Brickyard for the second year in a row. Last year won the Xfinity race and then won the Cup race. He's already off to a similar start this year as he won yesterday's Xfinity Series race. Now he's looking to double up once again. He will lead the field to green. He is joined on the front row by his Joe Gibbs Racing teammate, Carl Edwards. Tony Stewart, impressive qualifying run for Stewart as the 14 team really rolling right now. Ever since they won that race at Sonoma, they have been on a tear. He'll start third today along with Denny Hamlin. So you got Gibbs cars in three of the top four spots. Brad Keselowski, Ryan Newman in row three, Kevin Harvick and Martin Truex in row four, Jamie McMurray, former winner of this race, Kyle Larson rounding out your top 10 starters. Kyle Larson won the Truck Series race at Eldora on Wednesday night. Other notable names in the field, Kurt Busch rolls off 11th. Jimmy Johnson and Joey Logano will be in row 7 today. Chase Elliott starts 15th. Could he win this race in his rookie year? His dad did it back in 2002. Matt Kenseth starts 18th. Jeff Gordon will start 21st today in the 88 car, filling in for Dale Earnhardt Jr. Danica Patrick rolls off 24th today. Let's go to the phones, though, and bring in Tony from Clarence. He's on line one. Tony, good morning.
Well, you know, in the past, I've always been a big Jeff Gordon fan anyway. Mm-hmm. But the point I'll make is he didn't come here to increase his legacy or embellish or do anything that would, you know, spotlight him. He's trying to help his teammate.
Sure.
And he's trying to help his team to get into the chase. I mean, he was asked to come back. I mean, this is going to cause him a lot of pain because he's not physically in shape to be in this car. In fact, he said it on TV 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is he's not doing it just to make him look good. No. Because he owes the team a favor. Look at all the times they stuck by him when he was not doing very well in his races and over the years, and they stuck with him. He's got to help them. That's my whole opinion. I only think another thing is he lives in that area.
Mm-hmm.
He's right from that Hammond. I think he's in Hammond. I'm not positive, but I'm sure he's not far from the track. And this will, you know, make it a little bit special race, but it's only for three races, and the whole point of that is you got to help 88 get into the chase. And if they don't get into the chase, well, so be it. But he's racing to help his team, and that's all I'm going to say about that. And it's going to be a nice race. That's the Brickyard. He's won it five times. I mean, you know. I think he's won it the most. I'm not sure.
Yep, he did. All right, Tony, thank you for the phone call. First off, I do want to point out one thing. He cannot help Dale Jr. get into the chase as a driver. I do want to point that out. There is a owner's championship and an owner's chase. So, yes, that he can help the 88 team make the owner's points chase, which does, you know, they do earn money in that. But for the driver's championship, Jeff's results here the next 2 weeks have nothing to do with Dale Jr. making the chase. Basically, Jr.'s hope at this point will be, first off, he'll get the waiver from NASCAR, which will be a no-brainer. But then he'll either have to stay in the top six, top 15, 16 in points, which could be a hard after missing three races. Or if he comes back, wins a race and finishes in the top 30 in points, kind of like how Tony Stewart's going to make the chase this year. That's how Dale Jr. is going to make the chase. But I do want to point that out that if Jeff were to win today, Dale Jr. does not impact his chase standings. Again, it does help the 88 team in Hendrick Motorsports to qualify for the owner's chase, which does have its own championship and points money and all that, too. So I just wanted to point that out. But you're exactly right. I Thank you for the call, Tony. I didn't want to make it sound like that Gordon was doing this for vanity. No, of course not. He's doing his boss, his friend, the man that gave him the big start in the sport, Rick Hendrick, a favor. That is exactly the reason why he's doing that. We're going to hear from Jeff here in just a moment, and he's going to explain more about that. But that is why he's doing it. I'm sorry if I didn't make it sound like he's not just doing this for kicks. He is only doing this to help out Rick Hendrick and Dale Earnhardt Jr., a teammate. And of course, Jeff is still he still has an ownership stake in Hendrick Motorsports. I believe he's listed as the owner of the 48 car on the entry forms every week. So Gordon is a part of Hendrick Motorsports, so he's just helping out an organization he is involved with. But it's not it's not the first time this season. And I don't know if this is in the part of the interview that Mike cut out, but earlier this year, when Tony Stewart was going to miss the Daytona 500 because of that back injury, they went to Jeff Gordon and asked him if he would drive the 14 car Daytona back in February. And Jeff declined because he had already had his commitments to Fox this year, and Fox had all this promotion, you know, with Jeff going to the broadcast booth. They didn't want to, all that promotion and then have Jeff not be in the broadcast booth for the Daytona 500. So Jeff declined to drive in the 14. So this isn't the first time that Jeff Gordon has had an opportunity to drive a race car in 2016. But he is going to be starting the 88 car today. Let's go to that sound. Big thanks to producer Mike Jafari for cutting this up. This is from Friday at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. This is Jeff Gordon and Rick Hendrick speaking with the media at Indianapolis here on Fast Track.
Jeff, tell us how you're feeling getting back.
Well, I certainly woke up feeling good when I saw Dale Jr.'s tweet, that he's seen progress, and I texted him right away as soon as I saw that. So that's great news, great way to start the day. And, you know, I'm certainly a little overwhelmed with everything that's happened over the last week, but most of all, I'm proud to be able to be here and help his team out. You know, this is his team, and what we want most is to have him healthy and strong for the long term. And today was a great sign of things to come for him, and for me, you know, my goal is to come here and give this team the best effort that I can and get them the best result, and hopefully a good one.
Claire B. Lang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Jeff, I think there's no doubt that you can come here and win this race, that you won't forget how to drive here. But it's going to be so hot here, and you've been in the booth and the air conditioning. And, you know, what about the conditioning of being in the car, you know, at these extreme heats? And then, Rick, if you could also talk about how Dale is doing.
You know, there's certainly a lot of preparation that goes into every race and every season as a driver and as a team. And all I can tell you is I've done everything I possibly can over the last 3 days to get ready for this race the best way that I can. We'll find out, what kind of conditioning that I'm in. I mean, there's certainly going to be challenges this weekend, but all of them, you know, that I feel like I'm capable of doing. And you know, Rick is, and the whole team has given me a lot of confidence in myself by choosing me, you know, and asking me to do this. And I questioned Mr. H several times when he was asking me on the phone about this. And that confidence that they have in me, and then to go spend time with the team. Dale's got a great team. I mean, I'm so impressed with Greg Ives and everybody at the 88 team and everybody pitching at Hendrick Motorsports, to get me comfortable, get me ready, and to have, the confidence in me. There's going to be challenges. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Qualifying is the first thing that comes to my mind, even before the heat. To me, the qualifying, go lay down laps here to advance the second round, hopefully get the third round. Qualifying is very important here. You know, to do that in a short period of time, in the amount of practice that we have today in the heat of the day, is going to be tough. And, you know, as far as hydration and all those things, that's the most important thing for me, is just making sure that hydration-wise that get through the race in good shape. They've advanced a little bit since last year as far as cooling is concerned, so I actually have some air conditioning that actually cools things. So Jimmy Johnson's offered me his cool vest, so they know that I'm old and I'm not in the kind of shape that I was, but of any track that I can think of, coming heat or no heat, and come and do a good job for this team. It's right here at Indianapolis.
Well, yeah, I think you saw the tweet this morning. Was it Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday he came by the shop and we got to visit. And he looks good. He's encouraged. He's following the doctor's orders. And we're really excited. And so, you know, he's great spirits. He wants to get back in the car. He wants a race, but he also knows that the regimen they have him on will get him right for a long time. And so he's following doctor's orders, but I can tell he's getting antsy, but he's going to do what they say. So he's doing well.
Holly Kane, NASCAR.com. Jeff, if you could maybe talk about the decision to come back. Were you not on vacation or on your way back from France when a lot of this was going on? And what was Ingrid's response when you said, I think I'm going to get back in the car? Maybe if you could just share a little bit about the details of the decision and the approach by Mr. H to have you do this.
If I could scroll through my phone and look at the text that I've gotten from Rick that say, call me, I can tell you that you sit down when you call him on those instances. It hasn't happened a lot, but the times that it has, it's usually something pretty big. I was in the south of France at that time. I think second day of our vacation. Ingrid and I had planned a vacation to go over there. And I get that text, and I looked at her, and I said, oh, boy, here we go. And so, you know, I had no idea. And when Rick said to me, he said, are you coming to Indianapolis? And I said, yeah, I am. I'm coming on Saturday. He goes, well, you better bring your uniform. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And he said, and he started telling me, you know, about what was going on. I was like, you're messing with me. I know you're messing with me. You're not telling, you know, and, you know, I knew right away the seriousness after that he wasn't joking, that it was serious. And, you know, I honestly, I didn't even have to think twice about it. When Rick calls, he has that confidence in me and asks me to step up, you know, and do something for the organization, whether it was drive or other responsibilities. You know, the way he's been there for me, the way this team and organization has been there for me over the years, you know, I didn't anticipate this. This is certainly the last thing I thought was going to happen. But when I knew it was Indianapolis, I didn't think twice about it. That I felt like, you know, if there's one place that I was capable of doing it, it would be here.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. Jeff, what good does this do for you? That you ended your career in such a kind of incredible fashion there at Homestead. What's in it for you?
Yeah, I don't think I'm thinking of it that way, Bob. It's really just, you know, looking at how my role, how I fit into Hendrick Motorsports and how it's played a role in my life over the years and you know, not just the partnership but the friendship, you know, that Rick and I have. He's never asked me for, you know, many things that I can contribute and help that weren't valid and weren't something that I was proud to be able to do. So really this is just me helping out the organization, and I don't know, we'll see what happens on Sunday. You know, if we're out there having fun and putting a good result together, I can tell you what's in it for me is to make that team proud and not let them down, and that's what I did as a race car driver, and it's what I do, you know, with my kids. It's what I like to do in my involvement with Hendrick, and whether I'm in the booth or whatever I'm doing, you know, I like to make people proud of the effort that I put into it. So, and I'm gonna tell you, the last 2 days, I don't think I've ever put as much effort into preparing for a race and crammed in all that I have in the last 2 days. So, you know, that process itself has been really interesting and exciting and fun, and has got me pretty fired up, you know, to get in the car and feel what it's like to be in there. I was at the GM simulator yesterday morning. If we're racing simulators, I feel like I got a shot at winning this race. it went really well, but you know, just seeing the team and their attitude and their effort and willingness to, you know, to put me in there and feel good about it, you know, that's motivating.
There is Jeff Gordon and Rick Hendrick from Friday at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I don't don't like to play just straight press conferences like that on the show. Like to try and get live guests, but I thought this was one of the important ones that it'd be good to hear just straight from Jeff's mouth like that, instead of talking about what he said or speculating, but to hear him talk about it directly. And you know, this is an important deal for Jeff. He's not just going to go out there and have some fun. He's going to, you know, put on a good show, attempt to win the race, of course, but also just do his best he can to give the 88 team a strong finish today in the Brickyard 400. And he'll go off from the 21st starting spot today in the field. My biggest question mark for Jeff today is, can he last? It is going to be hot in Indianapolis, and hotter than if not just as hot as here in Buffalo. It's been the last couple of days hotter. I believe it's going to be around 90 in Indianapolis today. So those temps and those race cars are going to get into the 120s and 130s. They had the thermometers in the cars yesterday during the Xfinity race, and they would show them on TV on NBC Sports Network, and you were seeing 124 degrees inside the cockpit of those cars. Now, Jeff is a seasoned veteran. You heard him talk about that even from last year to this year, some of the air conditioners, coolers they use for the drivers, cool suits, vest, the airflow into the helmet and everything has improved. He heard him talk about that. But he is still going to have to run 400 miles today at Indianapolis in that race car, in the heat, in his first start of the season, the first time he's been behind the wheel since November at Homestead. The rest of the field, these guys are all in mid-season form. You know, they've been racing since February. They've already had 18, 19 starts under their belt, so their bodies are a little more accustomed to running in these conditions, whereas Jeff is going on about a week's prep, you know, week and a half preparation, sitting in air-conditioned TV booths for the first half of the season. We'll see if Jeff can hold up for 400 miles. It's not like I don't think he's going to need a backup driver or anything, but it's still going to be, I think, be a challenge for him at times today to pull it off. And I don't look for him to win today, but definitely I'm sure you'll see him at least at some point today inside the top 10 and maybe even getting a chance to lead. It's so hard, though, with track position in Indianapolis to pass. We'll see how far to the front he can get from the 21st starting position, but I'm sure Jeff will not be running at the back of the pack, that is for sure. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Their big story of the week, of course, was the Truck Series race at Eldora on Wednesday night. One of the best events on the NASCAR schedule now in its fourth year. This is a must-watch event. Probably for me, for a lot of us that are short track racing fans, dirt track racing fans, it makes it even more of a must-watch event. But I think just for the opportunity to see a major NASCAR National Touring Series on dirt is still different to see after 4 years, but it's still awesome to watch. And I think even if you're not a dirt racing fan, that you want to watch this race just for the unpredictability and just to see something out of the ordinary with a major NASCAR series. And again, a phenomenal show. Kyle Larson coming back from going a lap down. He cut a tire, caused a caution, had to go a lap down, but got a lucky break with the lucky dog pass around, free pass, got his lap back and drove through the field to win. Finally, Kyle's tried so hard to win that race in the other times he has been in it. And he finally broke through. Christopher Bell, who won the race last year, sprint car ace, finished second. Rico Abreu, another sprint car driver, midget car driver that's now running the Truck Series, he finished third. His truck was kind of out to lunch for most of the qualifying and heats and everything. But once they got into feature mode, the truck finally came to him, and he made a late run through the field to finish third. Jake Griffin, Tyler Reddick rounding out the top five. Your top five finishers, all dirt track drivers that cut their teeth or still regularly compete on dirt. No surprise there. They all finish in the top five. Cole Custer, Cameron Haley, Daniel Hemric, Austin Wayne Self, and Matt Crafton rounded out the top 10 finishers. And one other notable name in the field that we want to mention, a gentleman that we had on the show here a couple weeks ago, Stuart Friesen, unfortunately finished 28th, but had a remarkable day. Was running in the top five until motor issues on his Hallmar International truck took him out of contention, but Stuart was having a very impressive first career Camping World Truck Series start. Practiced well in the top 10, top 12 in practice. Qualified 7th overall, finished 3rd in his heat, made the main event even without owner's points to fall back on, and was involved in an early race incident and still came back and was running 5th until the engine inside that truck gave up on him, unfortunately. But a very impressive run for Stuart Friesen. Glad to see that he had such a good night up until the engine problems took him out of contention. But he certainly, like the other drivers we mentioned that finished the top five, those with a dirt racing background obviously had the upper hand. And I think part of it was that this year, the track surface, the clay that Tony Stewart and the folks at Eldora Speedway, they prepared it a little bit differently than in years past. Usually you see a flat, dry track that doesn't really resemble most dirt tracks. It's almost pavement like, but this year it was more like a traditional dirt track where it was a little bit slick early on in the day. It built up a cushion, which you usually don't see for this event. And obviously that played into the hands of those drivers that had significant dirt track experience. You also saw Bobby Pierce nearly win the race late issue with a flat tire and not being able to put the truck in reverse took him out of contention. Another dirt track guy that ran really well, but it was fun to see a more traditional dirt surface put down for the trucks at Eldora on Wednesday night. Speaking of dirt track racing, when we get back, we'll talk to Clinton Jeffrey from the Humberstone and Oshweken Speedways in the Super Dirt Car Series. Lots of stuff to talk about with Clinton, plus time for your phone calls too. Thanks for Tony that called in earlier, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Again, what is the storyline you're looking forward to today most? Is it Jeff Gordon driving the 88? Is it Tony Stewart's last race at the Brickyard? What are you watching for today too? Love to hear from you as we get back here on Fast Track on WGR. 11:34 here on WGR, Sports Radio 550, Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track. We'll have the 23rd running of the Brickyard 400 on WGR today. As Mike said in his update, coverage starts at 2, green flag just after 3 o'clock this afternoon, a dual production courtesy of the IMS Radio Network and the Performance Racing Network. Doug Rice will anchor the call, but you'll have appearances from some folks from the IMS Radio Network, including track historian Donald Davidson. I'm sure, of course, he is always a delight to listen to, full of great knowledge about the long history of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And what a facility, but just not accustomed to stock car racing, of course. It's been a challenge the last few years to put on a good show. Unfortunately, hopefully, with some of the downforce tweaks that they've done to the Cup cars, we can see a little bit of improved product. But it's amazing over the history of this event, 23 years now going back to, or 24 years going back to, 22 years. I'm bad at math this morning. Going back to the first event back in 1994. And just the excitement surrounding it, and that event kind of peaked like in the early 2000s. And just as that also happened at the same time that you had the IndyCar Kart IRL split, and the Indianapolis 500 lost its support and enthusiasm, and the Brickyard became the big draw at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway there right around the turn of the century. And then in the last 10 years or so, you've had that shift back to where the Indy 500 is now the main show at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and the Brickyard now has been hurting for fans over the last 10 or so years, while the Indy 500 just kind of hit its peak this year with the 100th running of the greatest spectacle in racing. It hit its peak this year with a sold-out speedway and everything, but it's just amazing the history there at Indianapolis over the last 22 years when you look at those two events and the peaks and valleys the sports of IndyCar racing and stock car racing have had over that time. We'll have time for your phone calls at 803-0550, but let's go to the AT&T hotline and bring in my good buddy Clinton Jeffrey from the Humberstone and Oshweken Speedways and the Super Dirt Car Series. Clinton, good morning. How you holding up this morning?
Dude, how you doing, brother? Things are going very well for us. How are things with you?
Doing great. You've been a busy man, my friend. Tuesday and Wednesday at Eldora, Thursday at Sharon, back at Oshweken on Friday, and now getting ready to put on a show at Humberstone tonight. Let's go back to Eldora, though. How cool was that, seeing the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modifieds back at Eldora?
I think it was very special. I don't think the significance of what it meant for the Modifieds was lost on any of the teams or the officials. Very important race for us to get back there to such a storied place like Eldora. And, man, they just flew around there. There was no thought that they might have disappointed, and they certainly didn't. The big blocks were an amazing show both days, Tuesday and Wednesday last week at Eldora.
Yeah, Tim Fuller and Matt Shepard getting the wins there. Wednesday they got to kind of be the support division of the Camping World Truck Series. How tight of a show was it on Wednesday, Clinton? I know they cut it from three heats. They had to kind of combine it to two heats to kind of help keep the show moving along. But just what a crazy scene was that working with the NASCAR folks on Wednesday?
Well, I thought Doug Leonard was going to have a heart attack. they were on him pretty tough. And, you know, the issue there was you're on live TV with the Camping World truck. So if track prep got pushed back 10 minutes, the only person they cut into was the modified because the truck still had everything on cue. So one of the sessions didn't get the time the way it was supposed to originally. But, you know, they threw an audible, and I got to say the Super Dirt Car Series came up with a great plan quickly, still worked to accommodate everybody, and I think all the modifieds understood what the purpose of that was support, and we were kind of laughing about it because where else does the Super Dirt Car Series go that they're kind of, you know, the support division afterthought? It doesn't ever happen. So we kind of laughed about that and understood this, like I said, the significance of just being a part of that.
Sure.
You got to realize there are thousands and thousands of NASCAR people there who have never seen a dirt modified, a Northeast modified. So I think we really opened up the ideas, and the talk around Eldora was that, wow, these things are pretty cool. And, you know, no matter where you're from, nothing looks meaner than a big block modified in my books.
Definitely. So, and then I got to ask you about the truck race. Was it basically kind of like the hometown fans, you know, just cheering on Stuart Friesen and J.R. Hefner during that truck race?
I'll be honest with you, Dave. We were done. So we had our big race Tuesday, the Super Dirt Car Series race that Fuller won. And then the next night we came back and it was only 25 laps. And then we had the Camping World Truck. So I got to become a fan. I went up and sat in the grandstands with a lot of the local Niagara fans, a lot of Stuart Friesen fans who all grew up here with Stuart. And, man, we had a great time cheering on Stuart. And I got to tell you, he put on one heck of a show there. It was so disappointing to see the oil cooler break because I think Stu definitely had a top five car. And we all had the feeling he was waiting to pounce. So it was a letdown for us. I can't imagine what it meant for Stuart and the crew to have it go the way it did.
Clinton Jeffrey joining us from Humberstone and Oshkosh Speedways in the Super Dirt Car Series. Real quick before we talk about tonight, tomorrow, just give me a quick description of Sharon Speedway. Never been there before. The Super Dirt Car modifieds were there on Thursday. Jimmy Phelps got the win. Just describe Sharon Speedway for us and over there in Ohio.
Oh, if you've never been, gorgeous, gorgeous place. I mean, just the way it's set up with the grandstands and the concessions and the VIP suites. It's a perfect building. You know, I looked at that and I came home and I was thinking, that's what I got to do at my home track. We got to get one of those things built. This building was just amazing. Track was racy. It was perfect size. The pits were spacious, big. The food was unbelievable. So, I mean, I go to a lot of places. I'm not a big foodie, but I couldn't believe the prices and the quality of the food they had there. You know, just unbelievable. If you've never been to Sharon, definitely worth the trip. And they're good racers down there. I mean, they've got some good modified guys, and, you know, it was exciting to see that go down as well.
And amazing car counts for those events, too. Nearly 60 modifieds at Eldora and almost 50 at Sharon, so strong turnout for the Super Dirt Car Series. Well, Clinton, you're right back at it. The fun doesn't stop for you. Tonight, the Humberstone Speedway, the Go Nuclear Late Models, and that should be a good show tonight up there in Port Colborne.
Yeah, I mean, we run the late models weekly, and the local guys have really picked up their game. So when we bring in the Go Nuclear Tour tonight, and, of course, they're backed up against tomorrow at Oshkosh. So we expect the Go Nuclear guys to bring a few travelers in, and we're expecting car counts of upwards of 24 to 30 cars tonight. I would let anybody know if you've never seen the late models at Humberstone. It'll be a great show tonight. They always seem to put on amazing events when the tour comes to town. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the Go Nuclear guys tonight.
And you guys at Humberstone, you, Bobby Davidson, Linda Costco, with all the families been through the last couple of years, I saw Larry Ott's shout out in the Buffalo News on Monday. Car counts are up this year. You guys are putting on some good shows from what I hear.
I mean, yeah, Bobby really fixed the track last year, put a bunch of new clay on it at the start of the season. And the racing's been unbelievable at Humberstone. If you haven't been able to see what we're doing there, on a Sunday night, Dave, you worked with us for about 4 years. You know how fast we run that show.
Mm-hmm.
At 6:30, we're typically out by 9:30, quarter to 10, 10 at the latest if we can push it through. We understand the value of getting the families home early on a Sunday. So yeah, if you've never been out to Humberstone, great family entertainment in that region. And, you know, the prices are great. And if you're on the U.S. side, with the exchange, it makes it even more, you know, enticing to come over because your money's worth even more.
And then Monday and Tuesday, you got this Casey Kane guy. I've heard of him before, and he's running sprint cars at Ashwiekin Monday and Tuesday. Tell us the story and how you got Casey Kane to come to Ashwiekin Speedway.
Well, I'll start with a tweet. He won at Lincoln, Pennsylvania back in March. And, you know, Ashwiekin, we've always tried to do marquee events. We had Tony Stewart for a few years in the past. And Casey won at Lincoln, and he tweeted, and I'm not a big Twitter guy, but I somehow managed to cobble a Twitter back to him and said, hey, it would be great to see you in Canada. What would it take to get you up here to race with the Outlaws and the 360s on our big event? And he said, I would love to do it. So then I said, you know, we sent back one more tweet. He replied again. So I called his people. We started talking. And now here we are the day before. He actually flies in tonight, I'm told. And we're excited to have him. I'm expecting a huge crowd. Ticket sales have been absolutely crazy. So he's going to race with our 360 sprints tomorrow. And then we have the World of Outlaws and the 358 Modifies on Tuesday. He'll race with the Outlaws in a 410. So 2 days of Casey Kane in a sprint car. And we're excited to see it. You know, we've had a lot of new winners in the World of Outlaws there. Stuart Friesen, we talked about him earlier. He won his first Outlaw race at Ashwiekin last year. Tony Stewart won his first Outlaw race there. So it is a place for first, the Outlaws. And I'm sure that might have played into Casey's mind a little bit to figure, hey, these guys got their first Outlaw win there. Maybe it is neutral ground where the Outlaws don't have a ton of experience where he can get out there and take a shot at grabbing his first ever, which would be a very prestigious win if he could grab an Outlaw win.
Now, I'm assuming Casey will drive one of his own cars for the Outlaw race. What is he got his own car for tomorrow, or who's giving him a 360 car for tomorrow's show?
How it worked out is we offered him a car, but he's going to run his own car with a rented 360 from his engine builder. So
okay. That
way they know what they're getting. They put together a solid piece. And, you know, Tony Stewart won the Monday show and the Tuesday show a few years ago. So it is possible for him to come in and run well with our guys. And I know all of our Cool Kids Ice and Water Core Pack sprint guys are ready to do battle with Casey. We have a lot of guys coming out who aren't, you know, dedicated weekly. Coming out to race with us, and with our open draw system, we could have anywhere upwards of 30 cars to race with him tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, it should be a good show both nights, and some great support divisions too. Again, the 360 sprint cars with the Race of Champions, Sportsman, and Go Nuclear Late Models on Monday and Tuesday. What a doubleheader with the World of Outlaw sprint cars, of course, but also anytime you can go see any kind of dirt modifieds at Ashwiekin, that's always a fantastic show too. Clinton, are tickets still available? I know camping sold out. If fans still want to get tickets for tonight or tomorrow, tell us how they can do it besides going to the track.
Well, they've chopped down another field, so we've opened up more camping. So if you need camping, log on to the website, oswiekinspeedway.com, or the phone number would be 519-717-0023. But one thing I want to mention, Dave, and especially to your audience, for the Thunderstock race Monday, we have opened that up to be an invitational. So Ransomville cars are allowed to run, Ransomville cars in their entirety. Come up, have a good time, and for all divisions that run in the Northern Crate Nationals tomorrow, the Burger Barn sponsored event, what we have is if you race with a Crate 602 motor or any type of GM Crate engine in your late model, Sportsman, Street Stock, you get entered in a draw where we're going to give away tomorrow a brand new 602 GMC Crate engine from our sponsor at Strickland's. They're going to walk away with it. Not a coupon, not a promise. The motor will be there, brand new in the crate. So if you race with a Crate motor at the Crate Nationals, we enter you in a draw. Somebody's going to walk away with a brand-new 602 motor also, Dave. And the Ransomville Street Stock guys are eligible to run with us for the first time ever.
Amazing job. You and Glenn Stiers and all the crew up there at Ashwiekin do a phenomenal job. It is definitely one of the elite dirt facilities in the Northeast. Good luck. Hopefully this great weather continues for you tonight at Humberstone, and then tomorrow and Tuesday at Ashwiekin. And we'll see you at Ransomville a week from Tuesday for the Summer Nationals. Busy times, my friend.
I'm super excited, David. You know I grew up around here going to Ransomville, Maryville. So be one of the voices of the Super Dirt Car Big Block Series this year. Mega exciting for me to get back to Maryville and Ransomville. So I can't wait to work with my friends at both those places again, and yourself included. It's going to be awesome a week from Tuesday.
Sounds good. Thanks for the time, bud. Have fun.
Thanks, David. Have a great day, and thank you, everybody. Lots of great tickets available. Hope to see you there.
All right, Clint Jeffrey from the Humberstone and Ashwiken Speedways. Again, Casey Kane at Ashwiken Speedway. Monday and Tuesday night racing sprint cars. If you've never been up to Ashwiken, it's near Hamilton. You can take the QEW to Hamilton, or you can just take Highway 3 straight on through. For more information, ashwikenspeedway.ca. We come back, some more local racing action. We'll hit the local racing roundup, plus squeezing a few more phone calls, too, at 803-0551. 888-550-2550 as we wrap up Fast Track here on WGR. Hey, race fans, it's Dave Buchanan for my friends at Batavia Downs. Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination and the place looking phenomenal ever since they renovated the main entrance and the gaming floor at the Batavia Downs. It is a fantastic facility they have there in Batavia. While you're there, check out all the great games, including all the movie and TV themed games like Family Guy, Hangover, Titanic, Sex in the City, Michael Jackson, ZZ Top, Wheel of Fortune. They've got them all there inside Batavia Downs. Also stop by 34 Rush. That's Thurman Thomas's sports bar right inside Batavia Downs Gaming. Check out all of Thurman's memorabilia on display, including his Hall of Fame jacket, jerseys he wore during his playing days here in Buffalo. Grab yourself a bite to eat or a beverage or two and watch some sports too on all the TVs. Baseball, horse racing, car racing, the summer games coming up, they'll have it all on all the HD TVs there inside 34 Rush. They've also got that gigantic projection screen that we had the chance to watch the Martinsville race on earlier this year. That was really great to see that giant 15-foot projection screen in action. Also, they have Fortune's Italian restaurant right inside Batavia Downs, too, if you're looking for a nice dinner out with your significant other. Batavia Downs Gaming is open daily, 8 a.m. until 4 a.m., off Thruway Exit 48, right in Batavia. And for more information, you can follow Batavia Downs Gaming on Facebook and Twitter for up-to-date info on all of their promotions, and discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, and tell them you heard them right here on Fast Track.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
And we'll start with the action Thursday night. State Line Speedway had a special show on Thursday. It was a big one for the super late models, and I had the results. Here, there they go. Super late model feature winner was Max Blair over Robbie Blair, Dave Hess, Doug Eck. They had a good turnout, including Chubb Frank showed up from the World of Outlaw late models, a good turnout of super late models. Also, Kirk Bradley got the win in the E-Mods, and Dave Shagla Jr. got the win in the Street Stocks. Friday night action, Ransomville Speedway. Eric Rudolph decided to show up and picked up his fifth win of the year. He was eventually going to run at Lernerville on Friday, but they rained out early in the day. Also, Chris Burek got the win in the Sportsman. Billy Bleach got win number four in the Street Stocks. Mike Kramars in the Four Bangers, and Daryl Borkenhagen getting the win in the Novice Sportsman. Lancaster National Dragway, Joe Masullo in top eight, Jeff Subchinski in top ET, Ryan Ricketson getting his second win of the year in Mod ET, Brian Babiak in Sleds and Bikes, Tim Markle got his third win of the year in Street ET. They are drag racing today at Lancaster, actually. Time trial start at noon, special bikes and sled show. Freedom Motorsports Park Friday night, Kyle Inman, he had a great weekend, including Friday night in the Sportsman at Freedom, where he got the win over Brad Rouse and Cody McPherson, Bill Holmes in the Rush Late Models, Randy Taylor in the Street Stocks, and Billy Dubois in the Mini Stocks there at Freedom on Friday night. Let's go to the Saturday night action and start with Holland Speedway as picking up the win, Mark Hoke in the Chargers, Richard Woodland in the Canadian Outlaw Midgets, Ben Russo in the Hornets, Carl Villardo the fourth in the Legends, Daryl Lombardo in the Rookie Fours, and Jim Steins in the Figure Eights. Genesee Speedway last night, I told you Kyle Inman had a good weekend. He also won the Sportsman race at Genesee on Saturday over Mark Loveland. Jim Johnson, I love Rich Vleck's headline for his press release. He said Jim Johnson owns Genesee Speedway because, well, he owns it both figuratively and literally. He owns the place, and he also owned the Crate Late Model feature last night as he picked up the win in his first start of the season. Tommy Kemp in the 360 Late Models, Byron DeWitt in the Street Stocks, Dante Mancuso in the Mini Stocks, and Cole Hicks in the Bandits. Lancaster Speedway last night, picking up the win, Amy Catalano in the Sportsman, Andy Cryan, first career Street Stock win, Joe Brunka, first career four-cylinder win, and Andy Nye picked up the win in the TQ Midgets at Lancaster on Saturday. Merrittville Speedway, double features for them from a rainout earlier this year. What's a rainout? I haven't heard too many of those this year. Four-cylinder, Sam Iftati had the rain-delayed feature win, Kyle Rothwell won the regular feature. Peter Reed swept the Hoosier Stock features. Justin Sharp and Rob Knapp split the Sportsman features. Josh Slider and Chris Watson won the Mod Light features. First career win for Chris Watson. And the Modifieds, the real deal, Chris Steele got the win in the Slack family-owned number three. And Gary Lindberg picked up, I believe, win number two on his rookie season in the 358 Modifieds there. Merrittville, busy show last night for them. Also, Stateline Speedway last night. Dave Shagless, second win of the weekend in the Street Stocks. Andy Proper in the Challengers. Damian Bidwell in the Crate Late Models. Troy Johnson in the E-Mods. Dan Nocero Jr. in the Sportsman. Rich Gardner in the Super Lates. And Kelly Frideris in the Pro Modifieds. Hope I didn't butcher that one too badly. As I said, Humberstone Speedway in action tonight with their program, including the Go Nuclear Late Model Tour. Last weekend at Humberstone, it was Chad Chevalier getting the win in the Sportsman. Dennis Lunger Jr. got the win in the late models there last weekend at Humberstone Speedway. That'll do it. We'll be back next week with another program here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Don't forget the race coming up at 2 o'clock today here on WGR. Pre-race coverage at 2, green flag just after 3 o'clock, as we'll see if Tony Stewart or Jeff Gordon can go back to Victor Lane at the Brickyard, or we'll see if somebody else can pick up the victory. Should be a good show. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.